Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about prayer today. And as I said, this is the second in a series of lessons on prayer. But before we do, just to give you a brief update on the activities here in Africa, I'm coming to you from Kenya today. We've been getting some rains and very, very nice weather, just short rains, but we're preparing for the long rain season, which usually starts in March. And so we're going to be going to Tanzania in just a few days for a great crusade with one of the great worship leaders in all of East Africa. Bonnie Mwaitegi is going to be leading the worship for us. I've been with him several times, and it's always a great time, a great explosion in the spirit with Bonnie. And he is a pastor and a great singer, worship leader, dancer, all the things that the Africans love. And so people turn out by the many thousands when he is there. So we're looking for a great crusade. We're looking for a great harvest of souls. We're looking for deliverances for people in witchcraft, especially in Tanzania. Witchcraft is very big. And so we're looking for great deliverance of people trapped in witchcraft. And so we thank the Lord, and we ask you to keep us lifted up in prayers the 24th to the 28th of this month, and then we'll be traveling before and after. So keep us lifted up in prayers. A team of three will be going from Nairobi, and so we pray for provision, we pray for safe travel, we pray for a great crusade, and we thank the Lord for this open door and this opportunity. We have 24 children now at the children's home, so keep them lifted up in prayers. Many of them are from very difficult family situations. We just took in three from the same family whose mother was killed by their father, and so the father is in prison or in jail waiting for his trial and sentencing. And so we have those three children. They're very traumatized, as you can imagine. And so keep the children's home lifted up in your prayers. If you would be interested in supporting any of the projects in the Africa Mission, stay tuned at the end of this broadcast. We'll give you information about how you can support and come alongside Gather the Outcasts as we work for the Lord and His kingdom in the continent of Africa. Well, back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in captivity over in Babylon. And he had been there with the children of Israel who were taken captive when Jerusalem was sacked. And so he is crying out to the Lord. This is what I would call a prayer of mission or a prayer for mission. He has a burden on his heart to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. And he has a burden to get it done in the face of great obstacles, in the face of great challenges, great mountains that are in front of him, not necessarily physical mountains, but mountains that look like they are too impossible to go over, too impossible to go around, and you can't go under them. And so Nehemiah was in a position where the Lord had put on his heart to get something accomplished for the kingdom, and he was trying to figure out how he could do it. Well, beloved, this is a great message and lesson for us. I hope many of you out there are praying for a mission for your ministry, praying for a mission for yourself. Maybe you don't have a ministry at this point. Maybe you're just a new Christian or a baby believer. But I want you to know that God has a plan and a place for you in the kingdom. He wants to raise you higher. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants to take you higher, and he will put a burden on your heart. He will convict you of something that he wants accomplished for the kingdom. And so this message could be for you or for those of you who are already in a ministry. God wants to take you higher. He wants to expand your vision. He wants to or move your tent pegs out farther, and he wants you to take in more territory for the kingdom of God. And so this message may also be for you. And for those of you who have not started on your kingdom walk, this message is for you, because this message will speak to you about what a great and mighty God we serve, what a great God we have, and how he can also bring you into the kingdom, give you a purpose for your life, a purpose, a destiny, a calling for your life, and he will be with you to see that purpose and that destiny come to pass. Well, in verse 2 in Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, that is, came from men from Jerusalem, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was, verse 4, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Well, there's your kickoff right there. There's the start of the conviction, the burden that Nehemiah had, the burden that the Lord placed on his heart. He heard a word about his brethren that were left, which there weren't very many after the sacking of Jerusalem, after the destruction of Jerusalem. There weren't very many left, just the poor farmers and a few vine keepers. And so most of the skilled people, most of the upper level, upper echelon people were taken in captivity over to Babylon. And so Nehemiah was told about the condition, not only of the people over there that were left, of the ones who were left in captivity. He said they're in great distress and reproach, and the physical status of the city of Jerusalem. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Well, when the cities of old in the Old Testament times, especially the major cities in the nation, when they were defended, or the planning for their defense was made, there was always a big wall built around the cities with big gates, and the gates would close at night. Even here in Kenya, the compound I have has a big wall around it, about 7 to 8 foot high, and a big gate that is manned by a watchman. And so that is pretty typical in places where you don't have armies or very good police force, that the cities would be surrounded by a big wall and gates. And so this is a symbolic picture, you might say, a representation of a city that is completely defenseless. It's a representation of a city that is very broken. There is no really good activity or safe activity going on in this city in Jerusalem, and its gates are burned, the walls are broken down. Anybody can come in and go out without any restriction. And so it is a place of desolation. It is a place of brokenness. And if you want to see a description or read a description, I'm sure there's historical accounts of the destruction of Jerusalem, but just read the book of Lamentation and you will get a very good picture of what was going on in Jerusalem after the fall of Jerusalem. And so in verse 4, Nehemiah says, so it was when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. This really hit him hard. It hit him hard, and it hit his heart, and he mourned for many days. So he was mourning for his city. He was mourning for his people. He was mourning for the people who were left, and also the people who were in Babylon with him. And he starts his prayer to the Lord, as in verse 5, he starts his prayer to the Lord. And if you have a mission, or you have a calling, and you have a conviction or a burden that God has put on your heart, you can start in verse 5 and read along with me, or you can start in verse 5 and start to pray as you have this burden to do something for the Lord. And just as Nehemiah was faced with this great challenge, you may be faced with a great challenge. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God is calling you to go on a short-term mission. Maybe God is calling you to start to preach or to be a leader in the church, or start some kind of a humanitarian type mission, or a mission for widows and orphans. Whatever it is, you sit down, you fast, and you pray before God of heaven, and you lay it all out before God, and He will answer you, and He will respond and reply to the conviction that has been placed in your heart. Verse 5, I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Well, he starts out by praising the Lord, just like in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's basically what Nehemiah is doing here right now. He's praising God. He's saying, you are a covenant-keeping God. You keep mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Then in verse 6, he's now starting to plead with the Lord to hear his prayer. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel. And then he goes into confession. After crying out to the Lord to hear his prayer, then he goes into confession. Confess the sins for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. And so when you pray before the Lord, whether it's a prayer for a mission or a prayer for anything else, prayer for salvation, prayer for intercession, confess your sins, repent of your sins. Nehemiah even took responsibility for the sins of his forefathers, for the children of Israel, for his family, that is his father's house, and even for his own sins. He wanted to get right before the Lord. He wanted to come before the Lord with a clear conscience. He wanted to come before the Lord with a clean slate. And then he could start to ask the Lord to hear his petition and to grant his petition. And so you have to do that, beloved. If you have sin in your life, the Lord says he does not hear the prayers of sinners. He does not hear the prayers of sinners. He hears the prayers of the righteous. And so if you have sin, active sin, or a sinful lifestyle going on in your life, your prayer needs to be to get yourself delivered and cleansed of that sin. Deliverance is of the Lord. And if you get right with the Lord, if you have a desire to get clean and get right with the Lord, beloved, he will clear you up. He will clean you up. He will set you free. He will deliver you. You may have to fast and pray. That's okay. Fast and pray. You can do it. God will give you the strength, and he will give you the grace and the mercy to fast and to pray. Then he goes on, Nehemiah goes on to remind the Lord of his promise to Moses in verse 8. He said, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Well, that's exactly what happened. The children of Israel were warned over and over about being faithful to the Lord, about being faithful to keep the Lord's commandments, and they refused to follow the Lord. They would go with the Lord for spells. They would follow the Lord and keep his commandments for spells of time, but then they would fall away. They would start to worship idols, and they would start to build up the high places and worship the Baals and the Asherahs. And they started to then sacrifice their children to the demon gods. And so they were unfaithful. They could not stay faithful. They could not stay keeping the Lord's commandments. And eventually the Lord gave them up into the hands of their enemies. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were given into the hands of the Assyrians, and they were taken off into captivity to Assyria. And the 2 southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah, then years later were taken off to Babylon, just as Nehemiah was taken off. And so eventually all of the children of Israel were taken out of Jerusalem, taken out, and just only a few remnant were left there. And so Nehemiah is reminding the Lord that he also made a promise that if he scattered the children of Israel to the nations, that at some point in time, he would bring them back to their own land. He would bring them back to Jerusalem, bring them back to Israel, and let them be established on their own land. And so that's what Nehemiah is holding on to. Beloved, there may be a time when you walked with the Lord. There may be a time when you knew the Lord and you were very passionate about your walk with the Lord. You had a zeal and you felt like you were really moving in the kingdom, and something happened. Maybe you got bitter. Maybe you got angry at the Lord. Something happened. Maybe he took somebody away from you, or in some way caused you to fall away or to backslide, or maybe it was just through your own weakness and your own battle with the devil that you backslid, and now you're in a position you want to come back to the Lord, you want to get back on the right track and get back in the mission that God has given you. And so you can remind God that, just as Nehemiah is reminding God, that you promised to bring us back to the land, you promised to reestablish us after you punished us and after you meted out justice upon us, you promised to bring us back. And so that's what Nehemiah is saying here. And he's saying that this is what you promised to Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, or if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you are cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Well, that place that God chose for a dwelling for his name was the temple in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah is wanting to go back there. He knows that's the place where he should be. He knows that's the place where the children of Israel should be. And so he's reminding God, God, you said we could come back. You said if we follow you and we turn to you, that you will establish us in the place that you have chosen for your name. And now, verse 10, these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. And in verse 11, now he makes a specific plea for what he is asking for the mission that God has put in his heart. Now he gets down to making a specific plea for the very things that he needs to accomplish this mission. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper. He's praying for prosperity in the mission that he was given by the Lord, that the Holy Spirit put into his heart. And so you may have, as I said before, that mission that God is putting into your heart. Maybe it's just to come back to the Lord. Maybe you don't have any great idea about doing something for the kingdom just yet. But the Lord wants to prosper you. And beloved, this is not prosperity gospel. You don't have to trash prosperity gospel and say, well, Jim's preaching prosperity gospel now. God wants to prosper you. He wants to see you accomplish the purpose for which he puts you on this earth. And you can call that whatever you want, but I say it says right here that Nehemiah is asking God to prosper him this day. That's not necessarily you're going to have a new car, you're not going to have an airplane to fly around in. Maybe you will, I don't know. But God wants to prosper you so you can accomplish the purposes for which he sent you and for the purpose for which he created you. That is his plan for your life. And beloved, that is prosperity. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so that is God's plan. He doesn't want to harm you. God is for you. And when God is for you, no one can be against you. When God is for you and you get in agreement with God, you will accomplish what God has set aside for you to do. Beloved, before I started to preach, I could only imagine what it would be like to stand up and preach in front of many thousands of people. I could only dream about that. It wasn't anything that I thought I could accomplish for myself or anything that I thought was even possible, even remotely possible. In my life, I had seen pictures of great evangelism crusades in Africa, But beloved, when you are faithful, when you turn to the Lord and keep His commandments, He will establish you. He will make possible those things that for you are impossible, and you give Him the glory, you give Him the praise, you give Him the honor. It's not your power, it's not your plan, it's not your program. Yes, God will work through you, and He will accomplish through you the purposes for which you were created, which is to bring glory and honor to Him, and glory and honor to His kingdom. And so He says, "Let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." And so He's asking for two things, basically. Let your servant prosper, and let your servant have mercy in the sight of this man. Well, it turns out that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. God had placed him in a strategic position right beside King Artaxerxes. And so Nehemiah was the man who took the food and took the drink, the wine, into the king. And so it was a very strategic position because he got to know the king and he had favor with the king. And he's asking the Lord, give me favor and grant me mercy in the sight of this king, because he knew, Nehemiah knew, that this king could provide for him everything that he needed to accomplish the mission for which he was being sent. Well, the mission is this. God had put it on Nehemiah's heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall, a great and mighty undertaking to go back and start to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, something that would be a tremendous challenge, a tremendous mountain to climb. But God is a God of the impossibilities. God is a God who can give you the resources you need. God can give you the tools that you need. He can give you the strength in the physical body and the strength of your mind and your soul and your spirit to accomplish anything that He wants to see accomplished. Where there is vision, there is provision. God will supply. And so the king asks Nehemiah in Nehemiah 2 verse 4, the king says to Nehemiah, "What do you request?" And so Nehemiah says, "I pray to the God of heaven." And in verse 5, he lays it out before the king. "I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Well, there it is, right there. He laid out this great mission before the king. He wasn't afraid. God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but He has given us a boldness and discipline and a sound mind. And so Nehemiah laid it out there before the king. He said, "I want to go back and I want to build the walls of my father's city. I want to rebuild Jerusalem." And believe it or not, the king started to ask him about the journey. How long will your journey be? When will you return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Well, beloved, that wasn't the end of the story, of course. Even greater thing than that, the king wrote letters to Nehemiah, giving him safe passage through all of this hostile territory. All of the governors were given letters that Nehemiah could carry so that it permitted him to pass until he came to Judah. And also a letter given to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he would give him timber to make the beams for the gates of the city, which pertains to the temple. God granted him the petition. God granted him the prayer that he prayed. And so, beloved, when you pray and you ask God, come boldly before the throne of grace, when you come boldly before the throne of grace and you ask God and you believe that you have already received what you're asking Him, beloved, your prayer will be granted. You will receive that which you are asking. Well, I hope this message speaks to you. Some of you out there I know have ministries. Some of you are already engaged in doing kingdom work, but for those of you who are not, understand this. You can be just like Nehemiah. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you and provide for you, and that you can prosper in the mission that God has put in your heart. If you have not ever accepted Jesus, that's the mission for today. Receive him, accept him, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and he will bless you. He will give you a purpose and a calling that he spoke over you even before you were born, and you can start your own mission for the kingdom of God. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all the prayers of support and provision over the many years. We invite you to support us, to help us preach the gospel here in Africa, to help take care of the orphan children, and to plant churches here in Africa. There's many things that you can be a part of. You can send or you can go. And so it is up to you. We invite you to participate with us, and we would love to hear from you right now. Sit down and write us out a check of donation, or you can go to the website and pay a donation or make a contribution on PayPal. The contact information is coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.